Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Just gone 7:49 Central African time. I'm really enjoying the morning with you, and you. Alhamdulillah, summa alhamdulillah. Boniface is on top form, people. Top form today because, he tells me, his team is playing. Manu is playing this afternoon, and he's all excited. Well, joining us is our very own, he is a councillor in the Itikweni municipality, our very own Ahmad Farak. Ahmad, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And tell me how you're doing this fine, beautiful Sunday morning, Ahmad.
Ayyi wa barakatuh, alan and salam to all our radio listeners. Alhamdulillah, what a beautiful Sunday morning, Shafar.
Yeah, a lovely Sunday morning. And I can tell you many things are happening. And the first thing is, he that walks on the surface of the earth will one day get into its belly, and the forgetfulness of death is the rust of our hearts. Ahmad, what's the latest on Kafan Dafan?
Shabbat, alhamdulillah, all the mortuary issues have been already been sorted out. They have removed most of the paupers' bodies, and they have made provision for those bodies to be buried. So that has opened up the storage facility at the Phoenix mortuary. So there's no more bodies on the floor. What we saw on the videos and some of the news articles, and that went viral. So alhamdulillah, that has taken place, and the department is now looking at alternate facilities to accommodate more bodies in the government facility. So that should take, in the next couple of weeks, should be ironed out, inshallah.
You know, Ahmad, you talk about paupers' burial, and this issue comes out quite often. How many Muslims get caught up, maybe they're poor Muslims, and there's so many foreigners that are in this country. How many of them get paupers' burial when no one comes and claims them because the papers are not in order, the body is in the mortuary, and as you said, after 6 months, or a year later, then they bury that. Talk to us about how paupers' burial is done, and is it true that they make one big grave and throw everyone in, Ahmad? Talk to us about it.
Firstly, the last question, we're not allowed to open one mass grave to put all paupers in there. That's illegal, and that is not permissible in South African law and in the law book, that you're not allowed to. It has to be given a dignified burial for whichever religion it is. The first question is, Shafat, when it comes to our Muslim, whether he's a foreign Muslim brother, sister, who is coming for greener pastures in our country, we make sure that they don't get a proper burial. As soon as somebody will come and say they is so and so. What happens is, when a person passes away and there's no linkage in terms of there's no family, friends or anything, somehow the other will, somebody will tell us, that is a Muslim. And then it lays there maybe 3-4 days. But as soon as we come to know, the burial organization comes to know, it is our duty. What we do is we go to the mortuary, get the postmortem number and find out what is there. In some cases, there's no documentation. Then we make application from the various embassies in South Africa from here to get the ID or a passport, or not an ID, a passport from the country of origin, and then we give him a dignified Muslim burial here in our country. We don't send the body unlike the Pakistani, Bangladesh, some of the Indians that need to send the bodies back to their homeland. But here, because he's a pauper, he hasn't got any family, friends or anything, they give us consent from their homeland that we are allowed to bury here, and we bury it. That disease here, and we do the full hog in terms of doing the ghusl, everything, and bury him in our cemeteries here in South Africa.
Now, Ahmad, I'm going to share a story with you. There was a brother named Abdullah Shilton. He was a Britisher who was an engineer, but, eventually ended off, being on the streets and so forth. But he was very close to a good friend of mine, Yusuf Desai. I think you knew him of a country bake. And subsequently, he passed on at the Durban beachfront. His body was found and it was put in the mortuary. And, when Yusuf read the paper, he said, no, man, this sounds so much like... Abdullah Peter Shilton. So he went to the Gale Street mortuary, and there he saw the body. And, you know, somehow or other, at that time we should have asked, but Yusuf was like just taken away, and he just told the official, no, I need to take this body. And, you know, somehow their hearts were turned and they gave the body. We brought it to, I remember, Overport, Sparks Road Masjid. And there were only four of us. We washed it and that. But I think Islamic Burial Council's van came there, and we went to Red Hill. And you know what? It was such a hot day, Ahmed. It was a boiling hot day. Four of us buried that body. And you know what? I tell you, it was the first time I said, I looked at Yusuf, I said, I'm telling you, Allah will give us Jannah for this, because we, four of us, put that body down, we put it in. But then I was told that that Red Hill area was mostly for those that foreigners that passed on, and they were put there. Talk to us about it. Is it still there? And that's a cemetery, you know, is it only used for foreigners, Ahmed?
No, Shafat, that there is private cemetery graves there for Muslims in that Muslim section. But what you see, in, when we took over the cemetery from the city council in 2001, we identified all our cemeteries. You got Brook Street Cemetery, Mobeni, different cemeteries all over the city. What we have identified is wherever it's closest, and it is readily closest, but you get some people insist that, you know, although for a person do not have any money or anything like that, he wants a total 100% lillah burial, we also be giving him at Brook Street. But in that case there, because the body has laid in the mortuary for 3-4 days, and Red Hill and some of our cemeteries, the graves are pre-dug. So that makes it very, very easy, because now if you had to take like Brook Street, we now have to give our staff indication we want that grave to be ready in 2 hours. And you must understand that soil in Brook Street and some of the other cemeteries are very, very soft. You cannot pre-dig it and leave it. You have to dig it on that day for the mayat. So if there is a grave that is ready, so we said, take it to Red Hill, take it to Mobeni Heights, which is the closest one, and the grave is ready. Because we know that the body has laid in the mortuary for 3-4 days, why give more taklif, bury him quick as possible?
You know, Ahmed, make a lot of sense about the soils in the different types of Kabristan. And I'm wondering, you talk about Mobeni Heights, you have Flower Road, you have Dayal Road, you spoke about Brook Street being soft. And what about that, graveyard in Mirbank, because you know those canals are there and all of the, how's that soil, Ahmed?
That cemetery too, you have to dig it. You cannot dig that grave and keep it. You have to dig it on the day of that mayat. But in some area, we find that soil is slightly, in that cemetery, we can do a pre-dug grave and have it ready as well.
Yeah, Ahmed, the main thing is, on a pre-dug grave and you having a night funeral. Did you have any incidents where people didn't look at the pre-dug grave and they fell down in the grave? Any such incidents, Ahmed?
We had one or two incidents, but, you know, it was not major incident, because I think, you know, what happens is the soil is soft, and we keep telling the people that, you know, this from this area, you do not come. And people want to, you know, they encroach on where the mayat is taking place, and they keep putting pressure on the soil, so the banks normally break. I had a lot of incidents in Brook Street where we got the timber, you know, where you keep your janaza, and the people come closest to that and they put pressure, and that is very, very soft sand. And when you push pressure onto that soil and the rainy day, the banks collapse. So now we have to wait to get our guys to dig those extra soil that which have collapsed, bring it out, and then only we can lower the body down.
Yeah, I'm looking at a question on the screen, and it's from Abdul. He says, "Assalamu alaikum, Ahmed Tarek. I want to know, the calico of yesteryear was thick and of top quality. Is the calico now that we use for the mayat, is it brought from China?" Hey, that's a top question from Abdul, Ahmed.
Shabbat, the calico or the shroud, what we use for our deceased is not from China. We don't use that Chinese anymore. We only get the one from Pakistan. It's a very, very good, very, very good fabric, and it's also a 2 meter in width. So you're not going to do a lot of cutting and all that. So it makes it very, very easy for our deceased. When we're doing after the ghusl, we use that kafan. It's a beautiful kafan. It's much easier than what we used to use previously.
You know, Ahmad, you make a lot of sense. And these are products from Pakistan. They really, they quality, eh? I don't know if you saw their mops. I mean, it's out of this world. You look at a Pakistani mop, like when you buy a local mop, that thing, or from China, that thing breaks in 2 days. But these Pakistani mops, they can last you for 2 years, Ahmad.
Yeah, anything you buy from China is wash, you wash, use, and cry.
Wow, you said it so beautifully, Ahmad. Wash, use, and cry. Ahmad, what caught your ear, you know, listening to that news? I mean, lots of information coming through, but what caught your attention?
Shafat, the airstrike in Gaza yesterday, you know, what I can't understand is the surrounding countries in the Middle East, why are they not taking, Turkey stand, taking a stand against the apartheid regime of Israel? Why are they not, all the other countries, Saudi, Yemen, all the other countries, you got Jordan, Egypt, are not taking a stance when these poor brothers and sisters of ours are getting killed with airstrike? They are doing absolutely nothing. How are they going to face our Allah?
Yeah, well said, Ahmad. And I think, no justification there. And this is the Department of International Relationship and Cooperation has weighed in on the recent attacks from Israeli armed forces against Gaza, which shows no signs of slowing down. Israeli military army, as Uwe said, they're going out of control. And we had our Naledi Pandor making a big statement about that. And it seems as if the South African government, the ANC government, you know, they really do make a noise about it. But they don't go that extra mile like how they say the Mandela government went. Or even for that sense, Jacob Zuma was more, you know, militant towards, you know, the apartheid state of Israel. Your comments, Ahmad?
Shafat, you know, you must understand this country, although there is an ANC government, but it's still controlled by the Yahud Nasaras of, because they're the major corporates of this country, and they're still calling the shots behind the scenes. And you'll see that Ramaphosa is a black man in a white skin. Yeah, that is it. There's nothing else. You'll see lots of things in the next 1 month will start coming out, unraveling. That's when you want to see what is was happening in this country. They have ruined this country to the core. Now we have to restart this country, and we hoping, inshallah, that from 2024, there will be a complete new setup in this country. It will make it better for the people of this country.
Absolutely, Ahmad. And you talk about, you know, all this country will be a better country. But we noticed that Eskom worker was threatened at gunpoint to reconnect illegal connection. This is how the people of this country are carrying on. And, you know, they'll come and there's an Eskom worker. Hey, come here, come here. Or they may put a panga by his head or a knife next to him or a screwdriver. Come and reconnect us. And the same they do with many other things. You know, it seems as if this country has with this illegal connection and all, people think they are entitled to it. How do we remedy this situation? I mean, things seem like they're going more out of control than ever before. Ahmad, your thoughts?
Shafat, we've got South Africa, when you don't have law and order, you got all the departments, when they are working with skeleton staff, when you don't have proper administrators, you don't have the people to do the work on the ground, you don't have vehicles to service this complaint, to this issues that what you have just raised, how do you go and fix things up? Because then you got absolutely no chance, because you're going to send to one complaint and you will send one vehicle with two people. You can't do that, because you know there's a whole mob behind you. You need to strategize exactly. You say there's a complaint came. What is complaint is all about? How are we going to sort it out? And then put a whole team together, maybe 30, 40, put proper with the army assisting, with the metro police, with all the law enforcement, and go there and then put it once and for all to bed. The people must know that we are here and we have got force behind us. Law and order is in place.
Well said there, Ahmad. Well said indeed. I'm happy that I depart with no cloud of allegations. That is Sishle Zikalala. And Sishle is, you know, really is going out with the style, because he says, hey, look at me. I'm a happy O, and I got nothing to worry about. And it says, outgoing KwaZulu-Natal KZN Premier Sishle Zikalala says he's happy that he resigned from local government with no cloud of any allegation. Zikalala held a meeting yesterday on a Friday following his request to the African National Council or Congress to release him from his position, which was accepted by the governing party. The premier's resignation follows his defeat at the ANC KZN 9th provincial conference in July, which saw him lose the party's provincial chairperson position to Siboniso Duma. Well, Sishle says, look at me. I'm clean. I'm going out clean. What do you say, Ahmad?
Shaban, I met him on a few occasions, some functions, as well as in the last year local elections. You know, I bumped into him and everything else. And then, you know, I got a way of telling him. I said, hey, Chief, your days are numbered now, AMC. He said, no, don't talk like that, Mr. Farooq. Don't talk like that. So I told him, you know, your days are numbered. ANC days are numbered now. We're coming. He says, no, Herman is a good man, and, you know, he make a good president and everything, he's telling me. So I told him, you know what, you'll have to start what we fought for, the old ANC. And I told him, and I gave him one incident, and we had a nice chat. So I told him, you know, when Mandela came out of prison, when the old Barclay Bank was owed $3 million in overdraft, and they couldn't pay that money, and they were foreclosing on the ANC, because that's what they wanted to do, put pressure on the ANC. And then I told him, you know, the Muslim community from the Transvaal have paid that full R3 million to Barclay Bank at that time. Now it's FNB. We paid it. He says, hey, you know what? You remember that, eh? I said, yes, I do remember. He says, you know what? The Muslim community and the ANC was like brothers and sisters. I said, now what happened? He said, I said, take our council. After that, I met him at our council meeting one day. I said, you got 96 seats of ANC seats here. Show me one black, one Indian, one colored. You don't have a single one. What happened to all the you name Yusuf Dadu, Monty Niker, you name all our people that fought for the apartheid government. Today, where they are, you didn't even think about putting one or two Indians, white, colored. They also fought for this, the ANC. Today, you got only blacks. What happened? He says, you know, my hands are tied, my brother. There's nothing I can do now. You know what? This ANC is not the ANC what you are talking, you and I are talking. I said, then what are you doing there as a premier? So he's telling me, you know what? I'd rather be there in a premiership and at least start getting some things done than not getting anything done. This is what the actual words were. So this is what the new ANC is all about. They're not interested in anything. They're only interested for themselves and how they can line themselves up. That is the only thing. This government is collapsed. It is doomed now. That is the only thing what we got at our disposal. And we are fortunate. We are around the corner of 2024, and we get a government that who can deliver. A coalition government will be able to deliver. That is the only remedy we got, because everyone will have to account for themselves. This morning I was reading something. Swedish government, they don't even get a cup of coffee. You have to pay for the cup of coffee. 60% of the vote you don't get, you don't become a councillor. That's how bad it is there. And they do everything. There's no allowance for motor vehicle. You take the tube and you go. You know, you take the train, in other words, and you go. So even at the when you go for a meeting, international meeting, you go. There's no business class for you. You fall into anybody, what you call your kettle class. You, as an MP of that country, you fall into a kettle class and you travel. That's what we need to do. We have to come down to earth and start delivering for these poor people of this country and sort it out once and for all. And I think there's no country in the world. Take the weather like today. There's no country in the world can have weather like this. got everything. You think these people are coming from foreigners are coming here? They're making gold money here, Shafa. They're saying because they're working hard and they're making money in this country and they're sending all the money back there. Unfortunately, we haven't got our systems in place. We're not even getting taxes from them. So this is the thing what we are fighting for. Now, there's a huge issue on the foreigners at the moment. If you're not going to be properly regulated and you haven't got your documentation, you'll have to leave the country. And this is going to happen. But the locals, what happens to the locals? They are not prepared to work. This is the other issue we face with Japan.
Yeah, and we made the issue of our unions and so forth. And perhaps, Ahmed, you know, how do you react to this? I mean, you'll say, you know, but it's a Zulu culture where the women do the hard work and the men laze around. How true is that, Ahmed?
That is, you know, I in my factory, you know, I ask these questions all the time. And I ask them, you know, they say, no, now today there's the culture is there, but you see how many take in your factory boss, how many, we all women are working here, our men are also working, there's no more, we abide by the culture, but the thing is this, today we cannot afford it, we have to work, my son has to work, I have to work, my husband has to work, because we can't afford it, we can't make it today.
It's not the same, Ahmed. Definitely, all I have to work just to make ends meet, and you know, but the culture, you know, we have so much of land, Ahmed. So much of land. Why are they not tilling the land? Why are they not growing their own, vegetables and so forth? Because I was just telling Adam Kamda earlier on, I went to the Mir Bank yesterday and looked at, the shopping center there, and I saw the amount of fresh produce. I was amazed. And the price is half the price of supermarkets, Ahmed. I don't know if you noticed that.
Shabbat, this year, especially, if you want good fruits, in fact, yesterday, a friend of mine sent me a pocket of oranges as well. And you're getting good fruits at the moment because a lot of our fruits has not left our shores here for overseas because of the Ukraine war and the pressure that is happening overseas. So a lot of our fruits have not left our shores yet. So there's a lot of good fruits in the marketplace at the moment. And especially in you go to that market you went to in Mirbank. Now in that market, there's a lot of farmers near the airport. Our Spingo Airport. There's a lot of farmers there that the government has given them land to just harvest it. There's a lot of dania you get there. You get a lot of chilies, everything, beans and everything, and they're coming and selling into the Mir Bank market. So there is, even if you go to Verulam, you're having the same thing. A lot of good veg you can pick up there. You go to the Bangladesh market in Chatsworth, you're picking up there. So there is, people are working and they're going and doing work. If you do that, you will get good produce. And some of the supermarkets have contracted up with the small cooperatives, and they're supplying them. And there's beautiful veg coming out for the supermarket as well, Shabbat.
You know, you hit the nail on the head. Even I saw the potatoes, I said gravy soakers. Yeah, I got that there. The tomato was absolutely out of this world. The lettuce, I was amazed. And, when it came to bhaji, hey, there was a bhajis for Africa there. Well, Ahmed, moving on, we see that the gift of the givers turned 30. And, you know, we have to hand it to Dr. Imtiaz Suleiman. He's really, in the 30 years, he's made a statement, Ahmed.
Shafan, you know, Imtiaz Suleiman. It's a one-man band. You know, he hasn't got a huge committee, but he's got a good working team with him. But he calls the shot. You know, the bigger the team, the more the problem you have. So because you get a lot of different consensus, and therefore you sometimes don't get the work out. With him, he calls the shot. If he says today in Tongat, I want five horse and trailers to go with groceries there, nobody questions him. It has to be done, and that's how he is. If he needs, he's putting up boreholes in Tongat at the moment. He's put it in his diary, and he said, deadline is within 7 days, I want 50 boreholes to be sorted out there. He gives the contract out. He oversees to it. He's got a team that oversees to it. And that's how you get work. Sometimes in our organization, we have too many chiefs. And that's why we don't get work done because, you know, the consensus, we have to wait for that guy, wait for this. So you cannot get work done. And that is the problem that we face with Shabbat.
You know, Ahmed, I give you full marks. I mean, you get the man that does it, is a go-to man. There can only be one captain on a ship. Imagine you had 10 captains, you know what's going to happen, right? There may be a mutiny on board. But that one captain, that one man that you trust, in your case, where, you know, you ran an organization and, you know, Ahmed was a go-to man. People need the papers done or they needed advice. And there you were, you know, no one interfered with you. But then you get too many people. And, you know, all human beings, they have different traits. And, you know, too many cooks spoil the pot. Ahmed?
Yes, Shafak, that is the thing. That's why I always say, in organization, you need to have not more than 5 people. You have 5 people, and then you have one good Amir there who must be able to, like, now I'm going on the 20th, we're having a meeting where I said on radio previously, Shafak, we want to open the rescue 786. I've only got 5 people already here, Mark. I'm going to be the engine room behind the scenes and put it, because, you know, I cannot do everything myself. So I've got somebody who'll roll it out for me, make sure the place I've already secured, everything I have done. It's just a matter of we have to have the right players on board and to make sure that we'll be able to deliver. And inshallah, with one ambulance service within the next 6 to a year, we should have at least another 3 to our fleet as well, because now we'll be able to give the service to the community. My aim and object was always to give service. And, you know, I don't like talking. I want to deliver. And that's where my big plus factor comes in. I can deliver. If I tell you it's done, you can take poison, it's done. That's how I believe it.
Hey, I tell you, Ahmed. Now, if I tell you, Ahmed, I want to go to the moon, can you make a plan for me?
There's always a will, Shafaz. Must always remember that. You tell me something, we'll always find a way. Make a plan. Abur, make a plan. I'm like that.
Hey, I love this man. Hey, you know what? I tell you, you know, Paisi that told me there was one guy, you know, and you remember Paisi that, Raymullah, yeah, the beautiful azan used to give. Then he told me, hey, Shafati, you know, that man there. I said, yeah, which man? I won't mention his name. He said, you know what? If you tell him, hey, I want to go to the moon. He said, don't worry. Tomorrow you'll be on the moon. But anyway, sometimes, Ahmed, sometimes it's good to give the person hope. What's your thoughts?
Always give them, always must. Even if you don't have, you know, my father always said, Shafat, one thing I'll never ever forget. He said, if there's a wedding in a family, and even if you don't have 2 cents to rub together, but give them the support. What can I do, you brother, sister? Who karwanu che? You know, the Gujarati, they say, who karwanu che? Right? What can I do for you? What can I get? You know, they will say, no, Barakmata, don't worry. We all taken care of. Everything is done. But he gave that moral support, you know, make that thing happen for them, you know. Then he said, don't worry, I'll get the chairs and the tent. He said, no, everything is taken care of. But he gave that support. That support means big things. And that brought me to what I'm coming to my next question is, Shafat, is that the best support system in the world, who is God? Islam has got the best support system. You are down and out. You go to the masjid, speak to the Molana. Molana will make 1-2 calls and you're on your way. You need to go to Joburg. He'll phone 1 or 2. He says, you know what? So-and-so came to me. See what you can do. He'll tell him, you know, send him through to me. There's his ticket here. Take the bus and go. You know, that is our support system that we, Islam has got no other religion, no way in the world you can get what we got.
You know, Ahmed, I like what you said. And as you said, the mosque is the central focus. And like in your case, you know, if I phone, I remember, you know, Allah blessed me on being on many platforms. And I just phone you, Ahmed, yes, what's Shafat? What can I do for you? Hey, I need a psychologist. He said, don't worry. And you do it for me, Ahmed. I mean, it's not only that you do kafan, dafan, or civic work. And I think you are connected in everything. And even topics. I mean, you look at Straight Talk. It has become such a powerful show because you have the knowledge, Ahmed. And, you know, you're adding your barakah to brilliant Islamic radio. Your thoughts?
Alhamdulillah, Shafat. You know, anything, you put me anywhere. You know, I always said to anyone, if you put a Muslim in one small land and there's nothing around him, he will make something out there. He'll start planting, he'll go and buy, cut some trees, he'll put up a shelter there. Eventually, you'll find that whole village became a farm. And people started coming into that. That's how we are. We make things happen. We are there. We don't depend on handout and all. You have to go there and make things happen. You know, I'm involved in various masjids with zakat in Phoenix. Yeah, there I do some of the masjid renovations and everything. And I always said to myself, I get the material and all that. I tell them to now bring the builder. Who from the masjid are builders and all. That fellow say, hey, no, I got a building contractor. I said, there's a material I'll give you. You do it up. In no time that wazoo khana is sorted out. One guy I had major, they had major masjid, and they had major problem in terms of leaks in the masjid and the hall and all that. And then we managed to get the roof. And then they said, no, there is a builders around in our district. I made one elan, one Jumma. I said, you know what? You can see the roofs are coming down. You know, things are bad in this masjid here. We got the donor. We can give you the material, but we need the people to come and this thing. He said, no, we got fully qualified artisans in among our community. They came and did it, and they did a better job than if I had to give it to a contractor.
I'm looking at a message on the screen. Anonymous says, Ahmed Parak, please come and join our organization. We are a Zawa organization that are looking for funds, but wherever we go, people just shut the doors on us or they give us the lie. Don't worry, the money is in the mail. Ahmed, please come and join us. Ahmed, how do you respond to this Anonymous? He wants you to be a member of his organization.
Depending where that member is from and which organization and what he's servicing, because, you know, my hands are quite heavily tied, but I can give assistance. I can press the buttons here and there, depending what they're looking for. If it's a masjid project, if it's a borehole project, if it's something to do with madrasa, something where education is taking place and all that, where we can give value to the community, and there's a need. I can press the numbers here and press the buttons here, and we can tell the community, I know the people around me, and say, you know, in this place here, I'll go and have a look at it, assess it, do a due diligence, and if there's any building work, then I've got a in-house architect will take in there and have a look at it. He give us a whole rundown, and then we take it to our donors and we tell them, you know, there's it here. I've already did the due diligence. I've done all the work has been done. This is it. Then they say, Ahmed, you know about it. You're happy with it. Make this will. So this is how we're going and we're getting the work done, Shabbat.
I'll give you full marks. You get the whole thing done, the feasibility study, you go to the plan. Hey, what better than doing it the right way and the legal way? I'm looking at a message here from Salim. He says, Assalamu alaikum, Ahmed Parak. I really enjoy you on Straight Talk, and bless our brother Shafa'at for bringing you on. No, it's a blessing. And, you know, we thank Marcus Sahaba for allowing such a powerful, program to take place. And I can tell you, Ahmed, Salim is telling you, what about these squatters that are living in our civic halls? And now the Itikweni municipality says they can't feed them. We must feed them. I knew this was coming, Ahmed. And this is going to get even worse. They're going to make that their five-star hotel, and they're going to live there forever. And I've also noticed that they're bringing in more family members to stay with them in their plush hotels, that is, the civic centers. Ahmed, how do you respond to Salim there?
Salim, the decision has already been taken at council level. Those people have to be moved. We gave them a specific time period, and who's heading it? The deputy mayor, Mabunla, is handling that side of it, because that it comes under his portfolio, comes under my portfolio in service delivery, community service. And this is what we have already raised, because these people those houses were washed out from the 12th of April, and the second flood took them out completely. There's nothing left. So the city have to give them some shelter first before those brothers can be moved out. Well, as far as the feeding of those people are, there's a problem. The council do not have any more money to feed them or anything like that. So therefore, the community is helping them at the moment. So, but I think we got about another 30 days. You'll have to just bite the bullet. By the end of September, they say all the halls has to be vacated, because we are also losing revenue, because some of these halls were already pre-booked for functions and everything else. And now they have to go look for other venues and all that. So it has put a strain on the city as well in terms of funding. Now we have also got this additional issue about this. People are in the civic halls with the, after they have come out, we have to redo those halls. Has to be painted, cleaned up, everything. There will be a lot of damages to that facility as well, but it will be done. And I'm hoping by the end of September, that was we were told, it will get sorted out, and it will should get sorted out in our next meeting on end of this month, council meeting. We want to bring it very, very, we're bringing a motion to that effect that these people have to be moved out because people want to use those halls, and that's what we are going to do, Shafar.
I tell you, Ahmad, you and I, you know, we grew up in our beloved Swingo Beach, and I'm still here. I love the Swingo Beach. Hey, come and see the civic hall, Ahmad. The gate is dented. The, you know, the main gate is bent. Someone hit it. Go and see that walls. I mean, the walls are not the same. The timbers are rotting. And around, you'll only find, you know, lines, clothes being hanging on the, even on the poles, on the fences, you'll find clothes hanging there and noise till 10, 11 in the evening. So you're going to sort all that out, Ahmad?
Shafar, I said that, you know, we have to bite the bullet till the 30th of September, inshallah. We are going to get it. But the other thing, what you, the Civic Association, and in fact, there's a very good heads up I'm giving you and the community. I think it is high time that we form an organization or form an NPO and apply for, like you in Spingo Beach, Shafar, apply in Spingo Beach to take over the hall where we will maintain, like how we're doing with the Islamic Burial Council. We took the cemetery, we maintain, we do everything, pay the light account, pay, and take that over. Then what you'll do is after that, you'll refence it, do it up, everything, and that whatever you receive, it doesn't get paid to the council, and you got no issues about rates and tax or anything. And then you meant whatever the proceed comes from the usage of that hall, use it into the hall and do it to a bit, you know, bring it to another level where you can put up a boardroom and you got meetings you want to do. You can even put up a radio station there too. You can do it because they will give you permission for all things like that. So this is an opportunity. I'm saying, I think this is an ideal time when the chips are down, the council do not have money. I'm saying to anyone, whoever has got a good following of the community there. And, you know, it's for a mixed community, actually. And it would be a price. You know, it won't be cheap. You know, you charge them 2.5 or 3,000 rand for the usage of that hall for that evening or whatever it is. And the people will pay because they want something good.
I tell you, Ahmad, you really gave us a food for thought there, and as you said, it has to be multicultural because you get different types of. I mean, you know, you in the soccer fraternity, and you know, you and a few others. I mean, we really had a good relationship with everyone, and our non-Muslim used to really appreciate and respect the Muslims. Ahmad, you were absolutely mashallah as usual. Your parting words this morning,
Shabbat. Tomorrow night will be the more on the Ashura night, and we must make, firstly, I must ask the community to make dua for me, and if I have said anything out of line in this radio station, make me ma, and I make, we say, Jazakallah to Markaz Sahaba for always giving us the opportunity to use this radio station to get through to the community and to assist the community, and what best, whatever we can do, we're only doing it for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Shabbat.
I tell you, Ahmad Farak, number one when it comes to straight talk. You have a, mashallah, beautiful day ahead. I will talk to you, inshallah, soon.
Inshallah, Al-Aziz. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I tell you, Ahmad Farak, really brings it alive. A man that walks the talk.
Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.